careful not to smudge his makeup. Coco tugged the Ilisab over his smooth, bald head and feminine shoulders, praying that the flow of the dress would hide any outward evidence of his masculinity. His prayers were answered. When Coco smoothed the fabric so it clung to his hips and upper thighs, even with a bald head, he was, to all appearances, a stunning woman. Coco found sheer black thigh-high stockings and slid them on carefully, sensually, before proceeding to the racks of shoes by the mirrors. He stopped counting at 200 pairs. What was Lisa? The reincarnation of Imelda Marcos? He laughed and chose a pair of black stiletto heels by Sergio Rossi. The fit in the closed toe was a bit tight, but a girl had to do what a girl had to do when it came to fashion. After tightening the gladiator straps and getting his balance, Coco exited the walk-in closet and entered the gigantic master suite. He ignored the exquisite decor and went straight to a large jewelry box on the vanity. After rejecting several items, he found a set of Tahitian pearl earrings and a matching necklace from Cartier that complemented but in no way overpowered the dress. As his mother used to say, "Know your focus, then accessorize around it." He put the pearls on and picked up the Fendi shopping bag he'd set down by the vanity earlier. He pushed aside tissue paper, ignoring the folded polo shirt, the jeans, and the Docksiders, and drew out an oval box. Coco removed the lid, revealing a wig. It was more than 50 years old, but had been maintained in flawless condition. The hair was lush, human, and not dyed, an ash shade of blonde. Every strand retained its natural shine, bounce, and texture. He sat down at the vanity, reached back into the shopping bag, and found a short strip of rug tape. With scissors from the vanity drawer, he snipped the tape into four pieces, each about an inch long. His teeth tugged off one of the long black gloves. He stripped off the backing of each piece of tape and dropped the papers into the Fendi bag. Then he fixed the pieces of tape to his scalp, one at the crown, another 3 inches forward of center, and one above each ear. After putting the glove back on, Coco removed the wig from the box, looked in the mirror, and eased it onto his head and into position on the tape, just so. He sighed with pleasure. To Coco's eye, the wig looked every bit as dramatic as it had the first time he'd seen it, decades before. It had been styled by a master in Paris who had parted the hair down the middle, cut the back high, and then tapered the length so the forward locks on both sides were longest. The hair framed Coco's face in a teardrop that ended just below the jawline and just above the pearl necklace. Highly pleased with his ensemble, Coco touched up his lipstick and smiled seductively at the woman staring back at him. "You are gorgeous tonight, my dear," he said, delighted. "A work of art." With a wink at his reflection, Coco stood up from the vanity and started to sing "I Feel Pretty" from West Side Story. As he sang, his practiced eye returned to the jewelry box, and he plucked out several promising pieces that featured large emeralds. He put them in the Fendi bag and returned to the closet. There he pushed aside a rack of men's starched shirts to reveal a safe with a digital keypad. Coco typed in the code from memory and opened the safe, happy to find 10 four-inch stacks of $50 bills. He loaded them all into the Fendi bag and closed the safe. Then he stuffed the bag and its contents into the bottom of the garment bag, zipped it up, and tossed it over his shoulder. On the way out of the closet, Coco picked up a set of keys. He spotted a geometric, black and gold Badgley Mischka Alba clutch purse and snatched it off the shelf. What luck! He put the keys inside. Out in the suite, he hesitated, then went back into the bathroom, which was the size of a small house, calling, "Lisa, dear, I'm afraid it's time I go." Coco tilted his head toward his left shoulder, gazing in interest and sadness at the brunette woman in the tub. Lisa.